Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuning in to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary, where we question, explore, love, support, encourage, and make spiritual wellness a priority. So get ready to exercise your faith.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I am your host, and I am excited that you have decided to join me tonight as we make spiritual wellness a priority. So let's go ahead and get right into our show. So for tonight, our schedule is that we're going to begin with our hashtag moment, and the hashtag moment, or the hashtag rather, for the month of August is Living with Broken Pieces, which is based upon the blog with the same name. We'll continue our series on discussing the miracles of Jesus that are found in the New Testament during our segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. We'll go right into my weekly confession during our segment titled Let's Be Real. And then we'll go into our main discussion tonight, where we are going to discuss the topic of pressing forward. We'll end the show with our dose of spiritual wellness and final greetings, and I'll look forward to seeing you next week at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Remember that you can interact with me before, during, and after the show on social media with the various hashtags that you hear throughout the show. So that includes Living with Broken Pieces, Wellness and Faith, a hashtag moment, Let's Be Real, or if you think of anything else that really resonates with you, feel free to post on social media with that thought and tag me at Weary Consult. You can do that on Facebook, Instagram, and on Twitter. Also, if you come into the show a little late or if you miss a show, you want to go back and listen to the replay, you can always listen to the replays at blogtalkradio.com/RSWellness. You can also listen to replays directly on my website as well by going to sherryweary.com. That's SHERRYWHERRY. All right, so our hashtag moment is the point in the show where I discuss a topic related to my monthly blog, and then we talk about it, and you can even post on social media with that particular hashtag as well. I am a guest contributor for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog, which can be found at radiantsunshine.org. My most recent blog, which is titled Living with Broken Pieces, was published recently, so I encourage you to go and check that out. So once again, the hashtag for the month of August is Living with Broken Pieces. So feel free to post on social media with the hashtag and tag me at Weary Consult. So living with broken pieces means that you make use of the storms and the destruction in your life. And this is actually part two of last week's discussion from our hashtag moment. So on last week, we began with first giving a little background on the inspiration behind this particular blog and the hashtag Living with Broken Pieces. So it actually is inspired by the story of Paul that is found in Acts chapter 27, verses 9 and 10, where Paul is shipwrecked because the captain did not heed Paul's warning. And so last week, we discussed how storms occur in our lives because of poor decisions that we have made. But there are other times where we have storms in our lives because of poor decisions that are made by others who are close to us. So example, you know, of a situation like that would be, let's say, you know, you're working for a particular company and the executive management does not handle the business well. So they lose clients, and then subsequently they lose revenue. And as a result, they now need to do some layoffs in order to try to balance out the financial situation. And if you're one of the employees that gets laid off, if you were doing your job well, you were following all the policies, and you were doing everything that you needed to do, then you're not responsible for why the company went under and now you've lost your job. But you're still affected by the poor decisions that someone else made. Another example of this is, can be, let's say, if you're in a marriage or relationship and your spouse or your loved one, you know, is making choices that are detrimental to either your emotional, mental, or even physical health, then and they also lash out at you because of what they have going on in your life, again, that is outside of your control. Now, of course, you can control how you decide to respond to it, and that may mean even creating some additional distance there. But again, their particular issue that they lashed out on you or about is not your particular fault. Another example would be, let's say you're driving home, you know, after work or after a particular event, and you're not going above the speed limit, and you know you have your seatbelt on, and you know you're stopping at the stop signs at a full stop. You're not doing a rolling stop. But then out of nowhere, someone who is actually driving drunk, they hit you, and now you have injuries or you lose your car or, you know, it's totaled as a result of an accident. Again, that situation was not caused by poor decisions that you were making while you were driving. It was because of the poor decisions of someone else. So this is what I mean when I talk about our lives being affected by the poor decisions of others. And when you look at the story of Paul being shipwrecked in Acts 27, you see that he was put in a situation because the captains on the ship decided they would continue with this voyage, despite Paul giving them a warning that it was not going to end well. And so they could have avoided this whole situation, but because someone else made it to ignore the warning, now Paul and all the other soldiers and the prisoners on the ship go through this whole experience of being shipwrecked and almost losing their lives. So even when you're in situations where all of this chaos and this turmoil and this trouble occurs because of poor decisions that someone else made, you can still live with that broken peace or pieces that comes from that particular situation. When you look at how Paul handled this whole ordeal, is that he went and he listened to the encouragement that he received from the angel of God that came to speak to him in a vision. And he stood boldly on that confirmation that everything was going to be fine, despite the fact that everything around him, in front of him, was telling him that it wouldn't. And that's what we have to do as well, is that we have to first make sure that our insurance and that our confidence lies in God and not the circumstances of our situation. We have to make sure that we don't get so caught up in how bad things may be, especially when it's not even our fault. You know, when there's things that's going wrong because of poor decisions that someone else has made and we're directly affected by it, we still have to have confidence in God and know that he can still turn those poor decisions that was made by someone else into something that can actually work for our good. You know, my favorite scripture is Romans 8:28. It says that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So when you are called to God's purpose, when you answer that call to live a life that is righteous, to live a life that is aligned with his will, and when you love him with all of your heart, your mind, and soul, then you can have that assurance and say that all things are still working for my good. Even a poor decision that someone else has made, it can still work for my good. It's a negative right now, but it can be made into something that doesn't destroy me and that I can actually live with and become better from the whole situation. And so we have to be reminded of that fact, is that God is superior to not only our poor decisions, superior to even the poor decisions of others. There is no situation, there is no circumstances that extends beyond God's capability, that extends beyond his power, that extends beyond his reign, that extends beyond his righteousness, that extends beyond his provision. God can handle it all. And so even though situations will occur in our lives that we are caught off guard by and that we don't expect and that we are incapable of fixing either right away or even in the long term, we have confidence in knowing that we serve a God who can. He's able to take the broken pieces from any type of situation and to use it in order to help us to not just survive, but to live and to have a testimony from it. I mean, even when you look at what it means to have a testimony, you know, you hear it so much in church, you know, if you, you know, are involved, where it talks about you can't have a testimony without the test. And it's a cliche, but there's also so much truth in it, is that you're not going to have a story of triumph unless you actually have to triumph over something. You're not going to have to have. You're not going to have the story of being victorious if there's not something that you had to overcome. It's not something that you've had to pursue victory because there was something that was challenging you. And so, no matter what the result is in your life of the poor decisions that someone else has made, or like we talked last week, of the poor decisions that you've personally made, is that those broken pieces are not the end. Those broken pieces still have value. Those broken pieces still have something that we can use in order to grow and to learn from and to become better, and that can actually help us to have even more confidence in God, because it gives us the opportunity to experience the provision and the awesomeness of who God is and his awesome power and how he is truly able to work all things to our good when we are called to his purpose and when we love him with all that we are. So when it comes to our spiritual wellness, we must learn to utilize and live with the broken pieces in our lives, even when those broken pieces are a result of decisions that were made by others that are around us. So now we're going to go into our segment titled To Believe or Not to Believe. This is a point in the show where I strongly encourage you to call in and interact with me live while we discuss various reasons why it may be difficult to believe in God. For the past few weeks, we've actually been doing this series on the miracles of the New Testament. So if you would like to join in this discussion, you can call 347-850-1154. Again, that's 347-850-1154. And by dialing that number, you will be brought onto the show live to either present your question or your comment about the topic that we are discussing for this particular segment. So with the miracle that we're going to be talking about tonight is actually the story or the account of when Jesus heals a man who was possessed with a demon, and it can be found in Matthew chapter 12, verses 22 through 28. So let's set up the whole situation here. The main players that we have in this particular incident is that you have Jesus, you have the man who was possessed with a demon, you have a crowd of people, which also includes a group of Pharisees. And for the past two or three weeks, we've been talking about the miracles that Jesus has performing, and the Pharisees have been there witnessing and all of these miracles take place, but they are not excited about what is going on, and they have been trying to find ways to destroy the popularity and also to destroy the authenticity of the miraculous power that Jesus continues to demonstrate. So the Pharisees are definitely an interesting group of people that we continue to see in the miracles that we have been discussing. So you have Jesus, he's there in a crowd, you have the Pharisees there, and someone actually brings this man to Jesus who is demon possessed. And what is interesting about this man is that not only is he possessed by the demon, but he is also deaf and he is unable to speak. And so they bring him to Jesus because news has spread throughout the entire area that Jesus is able to heal people from all type of diseases and illnesses and even spiritual issues as well. And so Jesus does go ahead and he heals the man. And as a result of being healed, not only is he free from the demon, but now he is able to hear and to talk. And so the crowd is once again completely amazed, like, oh my goodness, like he just did a 3-in-1. Here it is that not only did he free this man from the power of the demon, but now the man is able to hear and he's able to talk. Like, this is awesome. This is amazing. Like, wow, like, who is this person? Like, he has to be just so awesome and full of just this miraculous power that he continues to do things that no one else has been able to do. And so they're, you know, in amazement, and they're talking about how awesome and how great this is. And in the midst of this whole situation, being able to see with their own eyes that this man was possessed by demons, that he could not talk, that he could not hear, and now to see all of that reversed, the Pharisees decide to try to find some other way to discount what Jesus did. And so they actually discount the fact that Jesus has miraculous power and instead says that Jesus is casting out demons by the power of another demon, a devil that was named Beelzebub. And it just doesn't make sense. It's like, why would a devil use his own power to cast out another devil? You know, and so Jesus calls them out on their flawed thinking, because he's like, if the devil is trying to progress his kingdom, and if he's trying to get control over as many people as possible, then it's actually counterproductive for him to free people and to cast the devil out of people who are already demon-possessed. Like, his whole plan would be to continue to make sure that more people are demon-possessed, not to actually free somebody from being possessed by a demon, because he said ultimately, and this is what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, is that if that's the case, then a devil's whole kingdom is going to be destroyed. Like, a kingdom that is divided against its own self is not going to last. Like, if my whole point is to win, but I continue to do things that make me lose, I'm going to lose. And so this is basically what Jesus is telling them. And the Pharisees are upset. They realize that, again, everyone's just living crazy. And they're just like, okay, like, they're even more convinced that they just have to get rid of Jesus because of this rising popularity and because of the awesome things they were doing. And they were really just jealous of him and really upset about the power that he was able to manifest because they themselves were not able to do the same thing. So for anyone that knows this about the account of Jesus and how he actually ends up being crucified, all of these miracles are actually leading up to the crucifixion because these miracles were upsetting to the Pharisees and the other rulers at that time, and so they were trying to conspire against Jesus to figure out a way that they could ultimately kill him. And so it's amazing just how powerful jealousy is, and I encourage everyone to really take time to heal if you are dealing with any issues of jealousy, because it will ultimately destroy you and it will cause you to not be able to experience the fullness of life. You know, and even when it comes to spiritual wellness, if we are harboring jealousy against someone else, it prevents the miraculous power of Jesus from even taking place in our own lives in the fullest capacity that we are able to experience it in. So rather than being jealous of what someone else has or what is going on in someone else's life, just tap into and seek for the power of God to be made manifest in your life and ask for Jesus to make himself real to you. You know, ask for him to become more alive in your life, and Jesus will respond to that as you seek after God, as you seek him with all of your heart, mind, and soul. It talks about, you know, in Proverbs, is in other places in the Bible as well, is that God will respond to that. There's no way that we can seek the power of God, to seek the full revelation that we need in our lives and to have the understanding of who he is and to be able to know more about him so that we can trust in him with everything that we have and he won't respond. So rather than being a hater or being jealous about the miracles that other people are experiencing, just seek the miraculous power of God to manifest in your own life because God is able to do it for you just like he's able to do it for anyone else. All right, so I believe that this miracle occurred. I totally think it's so awesome just how God is able to just do amazing things that we just could never do for ourselves. I think it's amazing to have these accounts in the Bible to be able to look back on and to be encouraged by, you know, even as we go through our own situations. I know for me, even though I'm familiar with the accounts of the miracles, you know, what Jesus is going through this series has been really encouraging just to remind me of the God that I serve. We serve a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. We serve a God who is able to do the miraculous. So it's encouraging me. I definitely believe it, but I want to hear your thoughts. Do you believe or do you not believe? Remember, you can call into the show live with any questions or comments that you have about this segment or even the other segments that we are about to go into. The number to dial is 347-850-1154. And also remember, you can post on social media and just tag me at Weary Consult. Okay, so now we're going to go into our segment titled Let's Be Real. And this is a point in the show where I make my weekly confession. And I'm transparent and I admit my mistakes and shortcomings and areas I've had to grow in. But I'm also very honest about the success that I've made and things that I do well and achievements that I have experienced. The purpose of the segment of the show is to provide an example of what I believe that we need more of from people of faith, and that is people being real. So let's do it. Let's be real. So my confession this week is that I was reminded to use what I have. Again, my confession is that I was recently reminded to use what I have. And so where this confession comes from is that actually a couple of days ago I was faced with a situation where I was planning to do, you know, a particular project and just things were not turning out as I planned, like, at all. And so I was so frustrated because here it is, I put this time and effort into trying to make sure that things would go a certain way, and it totally didn't. And just things just seem to be falling apart. And what I was reminded of is that even when things are falling apart, you know, and when so-called curveballs are thrown, is that I'm still being thrown a ball. And so here's what I mean by that, is that when things fall apart and things don't go your way, like even when using this analogy of baseball, I'm not a baseball player, so I won't use all the correct terminology, so please forgive me for all my baseball fans out there. But, you know, I do know that in baseball, like when the pitcher throws a curveball, is that that's supposed to be a little bit more difficult for the batter to hit. And it can be frustrating when you have a pitcher who continues to throw these curveballs because it's like, come on, just throw me a straight pitch so we can go ahead and go with it and get the game going. But even in life, when we're called or thrown the proverbial curveball, so to speak, it's not the most easiest situations to deal with. It's not the circumstances being set up in a way to guarantee that we have a home run, but that doesn't mean that we still can't have success even with a throw curveballs. Because at the end of the day, even though it's not the ideal pitch that we would like to have, it's not the ideal situations that we would like to go through, we still are being thrown a ball. And so even in my particular circumstance, like, okay, yeah, you know, how I wanted things to go, it didn't go that way at all. It was very frustrating. And I'm just thinking, like, okay, this is not going to go well. But I had to step outside of my own plan and see that I still had an opportunity to do things well, and that this situation falling apart created the perfect opportunity for me to be even more creative and for new strength to be revealed. And so it actually did work out fine. You know, I was able to go a whole other route. Things went pretty well, and I was pretty excited about that. And what was so interesting, you know, about me even in that moment when I had to just go back and just plan things like all over again is that I actually felt dumb for being frustrated. And here's why. Because I started thinking about how there have been tons of other situations, even recently, you know, just in the past few months alone, where I've had so many frustrated circumstances because things have not gone as planned, and I've had to do something completely different, but it always has worked out. And so it was one of those things where it's like, okay, Sherry Worry, get it together. Like, you are not unfamiliar with frustration. You're not unfamiliar with things not going as planned. Continue to do what you've done in all the other circumstances and use what you have. Even though it may not be all that you needed, or all what you think you needed, where it may not even be what will make the circumstances ideal, but at the same token, you still have the opportunity to do something and still do something great. So even when things don't go as planned, even when things seem to fall apart, tap into the creativity and the strength that God has placed within you and still go ahead and be successful, because I was, and things worked out good, and I know that it was also happen for you as well. So I encourage each one of you to use what you have, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what lacks you have, what void there may be, is that the little bit that you have is so much more valuable than you think it is. So use what you have. All right, so now we're actually going to take a short commercial break to listen to The Wellness Moment by Sharia Farmer, who is the executive director and licensed therapist for the RS Counseling and Wellness Center, and then we'll be back.
Welcome to our wellness tip. Our wellness tip today is remember that it is okay to say no. One of the hardest things for most of us to do, especially us, find this very difficult with women, is for us to say these two-letter word, which is no. Saying no allows for you to create a schedule that you control and also allows for you to dictate the things that you can say yes to. It also makes sure that you're having a healthy and balanced life where you're actually setting realistic boundaries that state that a person is not able to use you or take advantage of you based off of their needs and not yours. Sometimes it is okay to say no. It's okay to also say yes at times, but when those times are, when you are considering someone else's individual goals over your own, it's okay to say no. The importance of this is being able to create balance, being able to create realistic boundaries, and to make sure that you have healthy relationships in your life that are okay with hearing the word no from you. So our wellness tip for today, learn to say no. It's okay. Everyone be well.
All right, welcome back to Wellness and Faith with Sherry Weary. I'm your host, and remember that you can interact with me online with the various hashtags that that you hear throughout the show. If you hear anything during the show that sparks a question, that encourages you, or even resonates with you, feel free to post on social media with any of the hashtags that you hear or anything else that you think of, and be sure to tag me at Weary Consult, is WHERRY. COUSULT, and you can do that on Facebook, Instagram, on and Twitter. You can also call into the show if you would like to join the discussion live. The number to dial in is 347-850-1154. All right, so we're going to get into our main discussion tonight, which is titled Press Forward, and this is based upon the scripture Philippians 3:14, which states, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So again, our title is Press Forward, and that's based upon the scripture, Philippians 3:14, which says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so Paul actually is the writer of this particular letter here, and he began his life actually as being trained to be a Pharisee. So he was actually educated by the best of the best, and he knew all about, you know, the laws that, you know, was supposed to govern and how to be the perfect Jew. But he ends up having this encounter with Jesus, and he's then converted to Christianity. Now, prior to being a Christian, he was one of the biggest persecutors of Christians back in that time. And so now he's converted to Christianity, and he, instead of being a prosecutor, he is actually the prosecuted. And so, you know, in this particular verse, Philippians 3:14, he actually is given an allusion to the metaphor of Greek races, which were pretty popular at that time. And so here it is that you see Paul, you know, in this particular verse, talking about the calling of God, and he sees this calling as being high and also above anything else. And so that's one of the things that we want to remember, is that as we are living our lives and, you know, seeking to be spiritually mature and seeking to grow in our spiritual faith as well, and to obtain the calling and to live out the calling that God has called us to be, is that it is higher, it is exalted, it is superior to anything else that we can do or we can achieve in our lives. And there's nothing wrong, you know, with having success and awesome achievements and accolades here, you know, on earth, you know, during our lives, whether that's in the educational realm or professional realms or what we do personally. But at the end of the day, no matter how awesome and how great those things are, it still cannot supersede the calling of God and be higher or have more relevance than the calling that God has for each one of us. And so, you know, even when you go through difficult times, is that the purpose of pushing forward, of pressing forward, is that you're pressing forward to something that is greater than what you have already achieved, that is greater than your current circumstances, that is greater than even what you're feeling in that particular moment. You know, when you look at the first part of the verse where it talks about press forward, you know, it's all about pushing back but pushing forward. Because when you go through things that are going on in your life, you know, it all is meant to push you backward. It's meant to destroy you. You know, the scripture where it talks about how the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There is no progress in being stolen from. There's no progress in destruction when it's just pure destruction and that's it. And there's no progress in being in something being killed. If something is killed, that means it doesn't exist anymore. Like all life is taken from it. And so that's the devil's plan. That's his plan, is to steal, kill, and destroy, and say all of the demonic forces that are attached to his plan that even tries and plays out in our lives is all meant to push our back, to push us back, backward, to cause us to regress, and to cause us to lose our faith in God. But when you have assurance in knowing who God is and knowing that God is still able to really show you that he is more powerful than anything else in this world, is that that's why we continue to press forward. We press against, and we press not only press against, but we make sure that we press forward in order to keep moving forward, in order to keep making progress, because the calling of God is worth it. The prize that we get, which is the reward of our faith, it's really worth the struggle, and it's worth the difficulties that we go through. Now, pressing is going to require energy, it's going to require strength and determination, and also endurance. And things are not going to always work out right away. They're not going to always go the way that we want them to go. And there are times that we may even temporarily experience some setbacks. But temporary setbacks is not the same as permanently just giving up and permanently just giving in to whatever it is, the situations that we're facing. So we must continue to press forward no matter how difficult it is, because in our pressing, we will get the reward of our faith. We will get the reward with the strength of God that will enable us to be able to overcome everything that we're going through. You know, whether it's the pain of our past, whether it's frustrations on a job, whether it's insecurities that you may be dealing with personally that you don't talk to anyone about, whether it's problems in family relationships or, you know, even in your marriage or financial issues, whatever it is that you got to keep pushing forward to it. You know, you can't give up now. You've put in too much hard work. You've come too far to give up. So instead of just stopping and going back to your old way of doing things, is that you want to continue to press. You want to continue to push because there is a prize. It's not like we're, you know, a hamster on a hamster wheel that just continues to run in a circle, and all that hamster is doing is just wasting energy. You know, the hamster never goes anywhere else but in that one same place, just wasting energy. Now, they may get, you know, a little bit smaller from all that wasted energy, but there's no progress. And when it comes to our faith in God, it's not that we are on this hamster wheel and that all of our energy, all of our faith, all of our endurance is a waste because we just never see any progress. Although the progress may take time, although the success or even the heal, the wholeness that we're seeking too, that it may take time in order to fully be manifested in our lives, it doesn't mean that it won't happen. I know that there's a sermon that my pastor preached years ago, and I have never forgotten it. But in the sermon, he was talking about how a delay does not mean denial. And even within the past few months, I've been seeing several posts on social media about that particular topic as well, how delays does not mean denial. And so even though that there is a delay in things working out the way that you need them to work out, it does not mean that God won't do it. And I can tell you that this is something that I have to continue to remind myself of, even in my own life as well. You know, as I'm trying to, you know, accomplish certain goals, you know, in my life, and things are not going as quickly as I want them to go, and then even I have to press forward as well, because I know what God has said to me. I know the promises that he's made. I know the words that he has spoken to me. I know the plans that he has for me. I know what I am meant to do. And I don't know all the details for the rest of my life, but there are certain things that I know is meant to happen in my life, and it hasn't happened yet. Definitely thought that there were certain things that would have accomplished. I would have accomplished by now, and certain things that would have, you know, came and opportunities that I would have already had at this point in my life. But at the end of the day, I still know that because God said it, it's still going to happen. So, yes, it's being delayed. There's some things that have been delayed for several weeks. There's some things that have been delayed for several months. And there's other things that have been delayed for several years. I mean, it was years ago when, you know, God spoke to me and let me know certain things that were supposed to happen. But at the end of the day, I'm still pushing forward. There are some days that is a lot easier to do than others. But at the end of the day, even on the difficult days, I know that it's not a waste of time. And so I encourage everyone that is listening to be encouraged with that same assurance, with knowing that all of your energy, all of your faith, all of your prayers, all of your living, and living a life that really reflects God, is not a waste of time. It's so not a waste, even though it may seem like it is, because you may see other people that is around you who are not living by the same conviction of faith and who is not concerned about doing things according to God's will, and it seems like they are just having just the best life ever. At the end of the day, all of that is temporary. And so our assurance comes from knowing that we have treasures that don't waste away. We have treasures that will extend throughout eternity, and that treasure is our faith. That treasure is our trust in God. That treasure is the righteousness of God and the awesomeness of God that we are able to experience as we continue to be in fellowship with Him and stay in alignment with His will, because the Bible talks about how God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so we are diligent in seeking God, even in the hard times, even in the difficult times, in the frustrating times, in the lonely times, in the sad times, as we continue to be diligent about seeking God and making sure that we continue to take care of ourselves spiritually and that we grow and mature and we grow in our faith, is that God will reward that, and He will reward it with giving us exactly what we need spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and even on material things as well. You know, it's that anyone that tells you that God is not concerned about your material needs, or, you know, it's just not, it's not true. And that's not to say that here on earth that every single person will be a millionaire and that every single person will, you know, have a mansion and, you know, be able to buy any and everything they want at any given moment. But what it does mean is that it's also not God's will that every one of us is to be in lack. You know, even when you look at the Bible, it says that His will for us is that we prosper even as our soul prospers. And so when you look at that, you know, we're doing some research, and maybe we'll talk more about that next week or in the coming weeks. We'll talk about that, what it means for our soul to prosper. We serve a God who is the God of the entire universe. And when you think about what that entails, it's insurmountable what we can even fathom. I mean, the entire universe, like He owns the entire universe. He created the entire universe. And so when you look at all that the universe encompasses, it is a universe of abundance. It's a universe of just more than what we can ever even begin to understand. And so if we serve that type of God, then surely we can experience even a piece of that while we're here on earth. And, you know, it's just not in God's will that we don't experience the fullness of who He is in every aspect of our lives. So to go with our dose of spiritual wellness, and this is the point of the show where we recap the show and just give a tidbit of encouragement for you to use, you know, throughout the coming days for the next week until we meet again. And so your one dose of spiritual wellness for this week is, in spite of what is pushing against you, push back and press forward. Again, your dose of spiritual wellness for this week is, in spite of what is pushing against you, push back and push forward. Well, I have enjoyed spending this time with each one of you this evening, and I look forward to speaking with you next week. Remember that you can log on to blogtalkradio.com/RS Wellness, and you will be connected directly to the show. You can also listen to replays of past shows on the show website as well, or by going to my website at sherrywary.com. Remember to check out my blog at the RS Counseling and Wellness Center blog at radiantsunshine.org. You can find tons of helpful wellness tips in addition to my blog there as well. Speaking of the RS Counseling and Wellness Center, while you're there, you want to go to rsdevelopment.org in order to get information about the new women's enrichment and community that has started up a few weeks ago. Things are well underway, and there's tons of helpful information that is in that group, and it's just a low cost of $97 per year. And with that membership, you get tons of weekly empowerment groups that you can use. You get access to monthly empowerment calls. You get a life coaching session and tons of other helpful resources in order to promote emotional wellness while you are seeking to accomplish your own goals as well, whether those are professional goals, whether it's social goals, financial goals, or any other things that you may be working on. So you want to go and check that out and sign up today. Remember that you can connect with me after the show on social media. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. And my handle is at Weary Consult. That's WHERYCONSULT. To find out all things Sherry Weary, you can go to my website, sherryweary.com. Lastly, my novel, Walking Through the Pain, is available in print and ebook format on my website at sherryweary.com. You can also purchase it on amazon.com and barnesandnoble.com. My novel, Walking Through the Pain, is also the official book of the 2016 Paradigm Shift Women's Conference, which is scheduled to take place here in Philadelphia, PA, on September 17, 2016. You can get more information about the conference, the speakers, and registration costs by going to patricemeyerministries.com. Until we meet again, and as always, I pray that you all will be well, be whole, and that you will be set free.